I just want to mention two things about Asara B'Teves. Besides the fact that it's a fast day, and if you are okay, you have to fast. On regular fast days, you should have in mind before you go to sleep, if you want to get up early, that you want to eat. Even if you didn't have in mind, you still can drink, no matter what. If you get up before Alos HaShachar, the times are always posted when the latest you can eat in the morning. The only inyan on a Tainus Tzibur is not to eat and drink. However, there is a chumra not to bathe either, especially in hot water. So a person wants to be machmer, but there is no chumra not to wear shoes. There is no chumra, there is a chumra not to put on deodorants and oils and those kind of things. Those are the only two things that are extra. And also listening to music. It's also usur because anything that is a regular Tainus Tzibur has the same halachas of the 3 weeks. What's usur during the 3 weeks is usur on a Tainus Tzibur too, inside music or whatever, dancing or whatever. Pregnant women and nursing women, unless there's some medical reason specifically, should fast till chatzos, and after that they should eat no matter what. This year, this Tainus, 11:30 is chatzos, something like that. It's not that hard to fast till 11:30. Some people don't get up till 11:30 anyway. So it's not going to be a very big deal. But men that have no medical reasons should fast. Asara B'Teves has something interesting about it. And that is that the Svarim say that if Asara B'Teves would fall on Shabbos, you'd have to fast on Shabbos. It can't. According to the calendar we have, Asara B'Teves can never fall on Shabbos. The worst it can do is fall on Friday. And when it falls on Friday, you fast the entire day and you break your fast by Kiddush. But Lamaisa, that doesn't happen very often. And the most, theoretically, if it would fall on Shabbos, you have to fast on Shabbos just like Yom Kippur. The reason being because the same terminology the Torah uses by Yom Kippur, the Etzem Hayom Azeh, the midst of that day, you have to fast, which means even on Shabbos. Doesn't make a difference when that day is, what day of the week, you have to fast. Here it says the same thing, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, on the midst of that day. The only problem is, why? Why is Asara B'Teves more than Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av, it falls on Shabbos, you push it to Sunday. Shavuot B'Tammuz falls on Shabbos, you push it to Sunday. Right? Tzom Gedalia can fall on Shabbos, yes, can fall on Shabbos. Thursday, Friday can be Rosh Hashanah. Tzom Gedalia be Shabbos, you push it to Sunday. So why is this different? So we've said two ideas in the past. One idea is that Asara B'Teves represents the cause of all Churban and Tzaris, which fits a lot what we spoke until now. Asara B'Teves is the 10th day of the 10th month. Number 10 represents Kedusha. So it's Kedusha of Kedusha. 10 of 10. Klal Yisrael, that day was the day that the Babylonians first Beis HaMikdash. It was the beginning of the Tzaris of all the Churbanos that came afterwards. It was something from the first Beis HaMikdash. Nothing happened on Asara B'Teves by the second Beis HaMikdash, unlike Shavuos B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, which had something in common. This one only had to do with the first Beis HaMikdash. And it was like the beginning of all the Tzaris. And Tzom Gedalia also only had to do with the first Beis HaMikdash, but it was the end of all the Tzaris. It was after the fact. Right, so this was the beginning, and that was the end. The beginning of all tzaris that we have of galus is because we don't appreciate who we are, and we don't insulate ourselves from the nations of the world. This week's Sedra, had I given a drasha Shabbos, I probably would have done something along these lines. It says that when Yosef, I'm not going to go into all the details, but when Yosef presented his father and his brothers to Paro, he did it in such a way that they'd be able to live separate from the Egyptians. Not isolated from them, but insulated from them. Because once you live amongst the Goyim and with them, then it's impossible not to be Mushba. And even good Goyim. We have a different lifestyle. We're supposed to be Kedosha. They're just supposed to be moral. And if we're only moral and not Kodesh, then we're a Goy. Even a good Goy we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be good Yid, not good Goyim. And our lifestyles are different. So there has to be a certain surface tension, certain separation between Yidden and Goyim and their lifestyles. You can't live a Goyish lifestyle and just make it kosher. Doesn't work. They have to be separate from their standards and values and goals, even if they're moral and they're fine. They're not our standards, values, and goals. And so you have to know how to live amongst Goyim, even in Klal Yisrael. The whole purpose of Eretz Yisrael is that we should be an Am Levadad Yishkon, create a society of our own that's Kulo Kodesh, but live amongst the rest of the world. We're not isolated. We have ties with the rest of the world, but we're insulated from them. That's called Am Levadad Yishkon. And the truth is that the Rabban Shalom made it that we can't, what's it called, we have to be an Am Levadad. The Medrash says we're like oil and the nations of the world like water. Physically, they can't mix. You can try to mix the oil into the water, but eventually it rises to the surface. And what pushes it there is the water pressure, which echoes what we've said many, many times in the name of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. The Yid has one of two choices. Either he makes Kiddush or the Goyel make Havdalah. Either we sanctify ourselves and that way separate ourselves from the nations of the world, or the Goyel separate us. Whenever we try to get too close in Mitzrayim, that's what happened, right? They started to go to the Egyptian circuses and the Egyptian theaters, and what's considered being too close, every generation has its guidelines. But as soon as that, they lived very nicely in Mitzrayim before that. And after that, already Pyro started making his Xeris. And the same thing happened in Spain and in Germany. Whenever we try to mix with the Goyim too much, the Goyim said, we don't want you. And that's a safety valve that the Rabban Hashem put in, that there's always a tension between Goyim and Yidden. It could be a positive tension. Sina does not necessarily mean hatred. Halacha l'moshe, Esav soni es Yaakov, does not mean Esav hates. Every Goy hates the Jew. Sina means pirud, separation. That's all it means. V'harayah by Yaakov. It says he hated Leah. V'yara Hashem ki snua Leah. Now, if he hated her, he couldn't live with her. He couldn't have children with her. It's also to live with a woman you hate. And the children are pegumim. So all the shvatim are pegumim, right? Six of them, at least, are pegumim. Because they're b'nei snua. And all the Torah says, he loved Rachel more than Leah. That means that comparative to Rachel, Leah was not as close to Yaakov as she could have been. Once you don't have that complete closeness, that's called sina. Then it could go to the other extreme and be what we call hatred. But ahava is achdus, is total connection, and anything less than that is already towards sina. So it's a combination. Sina just means piru. There's a halacha l'moshe Sinai, that there's a separation between yidden and goyim. Sometimes that separation can be in a very positive way. We can get along very nicely, but there's always a point where you can't socialize, mix together, whatever. And then when we don't do it properly, then it becomes mamash hatred. And the goy mamash makes havdalah, as we have seen throughout history. So, and then when we don't want to remain in Eretz Yisrael, in our kedusha, and know our place, so the Rebbe Hashem sends goyim to besiege us and make sure we stay in our place. We don't do it willingly, the Rebbe Hashem will make it happen. So the beginning of all tzaras is when yidden don't know their place. They don't want to stay, they want to go out of their sphere, out of their world. And then the Rabban Hashem sees to it that Goyim put us in our place. And that was the siege. And therefore, since this is the beginning of all tzaras, it's the root of them all, even if it fell on Shabbos, you'd have to fast Asar. Asar B'Tevis is more than all the other Taniyos insofar, this is the root. The root is the Ikr. Everything else was just what emanated from that root. But this started with this. That's one idea. Second idea that I've said in the past, and it's written up in the Yateid, English Yateid this week, is that there are four ramifications of Galus. The first one is that we are subjugated to the nations of the world. We're not independent. And we can't serve the Rabban Hashem the way we want. We have to listen to other people. Sometimes that's negative, sometimes it's not so negative, but we're not independent to serve the Rabban Hashem the way we want to do it. That's one aspect of Galus. Second aspect of Galus is that we are in danger. We live amongst the Goyim. We are vulnerable to them. We don't have our own place and our own army and our own And we're not. We are meshubit to the Goyim, and we are vulnerable to them. Third thing is we don't have a Beis Hamikdash. We're missing a lot of ruchnius. And the fourth thing is we're out of Eretz Yisrael. We don't have the ability to live in Eretz Yisrael, even without a Beis Hamikdash. As a Maya. Okay. Those are the four aspects of Galus. Each one is represented, in my estimation, by a different tainus. Asar B'Teves is the idea of Shibud Malchios. It started with the siege, and we no longer were in control who comes, who goes, the goyim were controlling us. From the outside, they made a siege. Shivasa Batamas, when they broke through the walls, we're vulnerable. Damage comes to us from the nations of the world. We're vulnerable to them. Tisha B'Av, obviously, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And Tzom Gedalia, after Gedalia was killed, till Gedalia was killed, most Jews still remained in Eretz Yisrael after the Churban Beis HaMikdash HaRishon. Most Jews were still in Eretz Yisrael. But the Pasuk says that after Gedalia was killed, most Jews left Eretz Yisrael. So the actual leaving of Eretz Yisrael only came after Tzom Gedalia. So basically, each one represents a different aspect. Okay. Now, all the other three aspects didn't really happen on that day. Right? The day that Gedalia was killed, everybody didn't pick up and leave Eretz Yisrael. It just precipitated now the exodus from Eretz Yisrael. The day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed wasn't really the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because the Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed was just a shell. We destroyed that Beis HaMikdash way before that. It just was just the culmination. So it didn't actually happen on that day. It was the culmination on that day. When the Romans broke through the walls on Shivasar B'Tammuz, it wasn't immediately that all Jews were now in danger and vulnerable. It took time until they, you know, got to the population areas or whatever. People lived farther in. So it didn't necessarily happen on that day. It just started, right, and precipitated that inyan of Golus. The only one that mamish happened that day was when they made the siege. The day they made the siege, which was Asara B'Teves, we already lost our independence. We lost our ability to govern ourselves and to rule our own lives. That happened on that day. Therefore, all the other ones, the day is not that significant, because it wasn't really that day that those things happened. It's only that that day either culminated or precipitated. But the only one that really that day mamish, the thing happened, was Asara B'Teves. Therefore, the Navi says, Betzom Yom Hazeh, it's important to celebrate on that day. Where the other ones, anyway, the tzara that they precipitated didn't actually happen on that day, mamish. Therefore, it's not important that it has to be dafka that day. It could be the next day. It could be whatever. That's in my estimation, is a reason why Asara B'Teves, for these two reasons, why it's different than the other taniyos. Either because it's the root of all of them, or because what it represents is more specific to that day and what the other ones represent. Okay.
What's about the English son of Yaakov? He's just a pirud. What's done in America?
What's shot in America?
Yeah,
there's still a pirud. You think that the goyim love yidden? They don't also feel a they don't have to hate us, but they definitely feel a separation. You and I are not the same. If they're not Jews, they're not Jews, but they're blamed for becoming not Jews, having children that aren't Jewish, marrying non-Jews. Right. So the ones that are already not Jews, they're not Jews. But the ones that cause that have a big achrayis. Yeah, in any case, it's not only people who are assimilated. Assimilation doesn't only mean marrying a shiksa or a shegetz. It means you could be with a beard and payas and be assimilated if your standards and values and goals are basically goyish, but you do it, glatt kosher. That's also assimilation.